It's time this week and.
Oh, hey, John.
What? Hmm? What?
Oh, hey.
You have something? What's going on?
No, I just think, you know, hey.
Oh, hey.
We're doing our show.
I thought you were saying, hold on, stop. Stop
no,
the presses.
No.
No, we're ready to go.
Whatever the opposite of that is.
And go, go, go. So we're ready for the next installment. We have our holiday weekend special coming up today, and we're going to try to get through it quickly. Because
yes.
I have things to do. I'm going away this weekend, so we're going to try to compress a hour in plus show into. And I'm not doing a good job by starting off by rambling like this. So why don't we get into it, huh?
Sounds great, John. Let's do it.
This is this. This is this. That's the new name of the podcast, is This Is This. This is Foul Territory. I'm at John Semple. He's at Jed Ridney. And
hello.
We are ready for jumping right into headlines.
We are here to pump
you up.
Right? Remember that?
Yeah. Well,
classic.
No, I do.
Hey, so this is going to be a slightly shorter episode, as you mentioned. What I suggest is that people listen to it at half speed. That way they get their full hour and 10 minutes.
Right. They'll get they'll get what they're paying for.
Yeah. Some people like to speed up their podcasts, but I really recommend you slow this one down.
We'll try to keep it at a steady clip, but slow it down, absorb it when you're listening to it. Jeez, it's going to be the longest show ever if I keep this up.
It's taken us twice as long to get this far as it normally does
for the
on
fast
the episode
show.
Where we need to speed things up. I love it.
That's good. Good comedy. Okay, let's jump into it. First thing on the list we've got for headline this week is Braves acquiring Adams to fill in for, I'm trying to blank on his name. This is
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman. But what's Adams' first name?
Matt Adams.
Okay. Matt Adams take the place of Freddie Freeman on the mend, joining the numerous other players who have been injured this year.
Yeah, but he got it worse, right? Because he got that broken wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the worst thing. He's been basically like the best hitter for the last calendar year, right? Like going back halfway through last season all the way till now. The best hitter in baseball.
Right.
I mean, it's him and Trout and Harper, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he breaks his wrist on this pitch by a lefty who was throwing inside, but not to hit him, but just has a history of throwing inside and actually hits more people. I think the statistics on it was 2 standard deviations above the normal.
Wow.
Yeah, like he hits people. He's
who,
a lefty.
Who is the
lefty
pitcher?
Special. Was it Loop? Is that who it was?
I don't know.
I forget. These lefties are like they're like umpires. I just never remember their names. Except for Rybczynski.
So it was a reliever.
It was a reliever.
A loogie.
Yeah. A loogie, exactly. A lefty one-out guy.
Right. So the odd man out in this scenario is James Loney, who was signed for, what, all of 2 or 3 days?
Yeah. Well, that was a terrible idea. And the whole Matt Adams thing's just been sort of sitting there like, duh. He's been stuck on the Cardinals. They haven't been playing him. They don't know what to do with him because they have a first baseman and they have the outfield covered, and he can't really play the outfield. And so it's one of those great things where it's just here's a player that's perfect for a perfect fit. He's a lefty. Lefties are hitting really well at the new Atlanta Park. And he's already hit, I think, a couple home runs and I think a triple tonight. So
wow.
Not hitting a couple home runs tonight, but just in the few days he's been with the team, a couple home runs. So smart pickup in fantasy baseball for those of you who play that. Yeah, I already grabbed him in one of my other leagues, but yeah, he's great. He's a great pickup for the Braves. I mean, the Braves are kind of .500 team, right? But they're trying to put on a good show and something like that. They didn't give up much to get him. That's a smart move.
Well, they were earlier last week, I think, or middle of last week, they were in second place, which isn't saying much for that division, but.
Yes, they were the best of the worst in that division.
And it will probably continue to be one of the underperforming with our. Do we have a this week in Mets baseball or this as the Mets turn? Is there
no? There is no. I cut out the Mets story to save for time, which
okay.
We used up at the beginning of the show, hemming and hawing over explaining why the show needs to go faster.
Right. Okay. So let's move on to the next item on our list. White Sox did sign? They did sign, right?
Yeah, they did sign him.
Yeah.
Or they agreed to sign with him, right?
The Cuban prospect. 19 years old, right? Luis Robert?
Yeah, 19. People are talking about him being like a top 20 prospect to get things started. So that's good. That's good. That's a good pickup for the White Sox. I mean, they're doing it right. You know, I think the big story, it's Luis Robert. I've been calling him Robert, you know, because I'm American, first of all. Second of all, like, how am I supposed to know it's Robert?
Yeah, Louis Robert.
Yeah, yeah, Louis Robert. Hey, Louis Bobby. Let's just call him that, Louis, right? Bobby. So Louis Bobby, the big thing was that the Cardinals were supposed to be picking him up, you know, because they were making a big push because they lost all the draft picks because of their computer hacking whatever thing. So a lot of people thought they would make the big push, but the White Sox came in and grabbed him. So, I mean, they're building a good thing there with the trades they made in the offseason, and if they can just trade a couple more guys away and make just do it right in a couple of years, you could be seeing them atop that Central Division. It's not a dominant division. So,
well, the Twins are still in first place, so that says that, a lot right
that
there.
That tells you exactly how not dominant that division is. Bless the Twins, though. I have an affinity for a lot of the players on that team, so I'm enjoying it. But they are going to fall back eventually. So,
surprise! One of the surprise stories. Yeah. One of the nice surprise stories. Yeah. I guess the Twins, Brewers, and Rockies are the big story so far as the unexpecteds are concerned.
Sure.
Not that that's a bullet item for headlines, but just an aside.
Yeah.
Another big thing that was, I think it was today, that Chris Sale was going today, tomorrow, or today, yesterday, 2 days ago.
Well, we'll say Wednesday.
Wednesday. Was Chris Sale was going for the 9th consecutive game with 10-plus strikeouts.
Right, which
would
have
been.
How
he did?
He did not get his 10.
Wah.
Yeah, he came up a little short, a little too many ground balls, 6 strikeouts. So
how many innings did he go?
7. But I'm going to go ahead and say they won, but we're recording while the game's going on. So.
Oh, so he's already out of the game.
Well, you know, he's not out of the game, but he's at his pitch limit. So he might. I mean, maybe he goes one more inning, right? He's in the 90s, so maybe he goes one more. But they have a 3-run lead.
What if he goes one more inning, strikes out the side on 9 pitches? You think he'll come back in for number 10 in the next inning?
I wouldn't put it past John Farrell. John Farrell is an extremely mediocre manager. He's got that Grady Little thing of like, no, I'll leave the pitcher in for one more inning. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, speaking of the worst that could happen to fantasy baseball owners who own Clayton Kershaw, like me.
What a game last night, though. Wow.
I don't know how – I didn't see the final score because the last time I saw it was still 1-1 in the 13th inning.
Yeah, 2-1 was the final. Dodgers pulled it out. Logan Forsyth returning from the disabled list to get 4 strikeouts and a game-winning hit.
Nice.
But yeah, Lance Lynn and Clayton Kershaw going head-to-head. Dodgers-Cardinals, one of the most balanced historical rivalries. I think they're like 5 games off over the thousands of games they've played. Mm-hmm. So it was 1-0 in the 9th inning. And with a runner on second, Kershaw bounced a ball that the catcher, Grandal, couldn't find. And the guy scored from second, which you almost never see.
No.
And the guy just...
I didn't know that he scored from second. That makes me feel even worse.
No, it's crazy. Like, the ball just shoots away.
I was banking on it.
Yeah.
And then, boom.
That was a tough break for fantasy and daily fantasy guys who are hoping to get that extra point bonus. Wow. No, but it was a wonderful game to watch. And, you know, I mean, whatever. No, not every game should be 1-0 or whatever, but it was exciting.
I love defensive gems.
Those and, of course, the Dodgers had 2 collisions in the outfield. Jock Peterson ran into Cody Bellinger, and then there's a funny clip of it online of Jock Peterson running into Cody Bellinger. They make the catch, and then there's a shot of Yasiel Puig in right field just sort of staring at them like, what are you guys doing? 2 innings later, Jock Peterson and Yasiel Puig crash into each other. Puig makes the catch, but Peterson gets knocked out of the game. So probably for the best.
Imagine running into Puig would do that.
Those are 2 big dudes. Peterson's a big center fielder. But Puig's bigger.
Wow. Not a good way to end your night.
Maybe Puig to the Marlins with a prospect for Stanton, though.
Oh, really?
I heard that rumor yesterday. That was interesting. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, chances are pretty good he's not going to stay around, especially with the new ownership scenario possibility. If they can reduce their debt, that makes the purchase price seem a little bit more palpable.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see, especially with the way the Marlins are playing right now, fire sale once again at the trading deadline. So we'll see.
Well, I think now, though, if they do a fire sale like these other teams are doing fire sales, where they're not just dumping the money, right? Like,
just do it smart. Get some. So they have to get rid of Stanton in order to get that type of a haul back. Yeah. Although Stanton was much better value 2 years ago than he is now. He's been somewhat.
He's got that opt out though, right? I think in 2 years.
It was the fifth year. Was it the fifth year? Fourth or fifth year.
He'll opt out. I mean, unless he hurts himself. But yeah, that's. You got to figure he's gonna move. If I were that team, like, you got a bad manager, you have no pitching. Just, you have some nice pieces, but trade the stuff that's not nailed down, you know?
Yeah, I can see them keeping Yelich and trading Stanton and Ozuna.
Yeah.
Which they have nothing in their minor league system at all. They're horrible.
They're awful.
So they need...
But, you know, a year and a half ago, the White Sox were right down there with them, and now they have a top five minor league system. Right. So
it will be interesting to see if Loria orchestrates something like that or waits... Until somebody else steps in. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd rather see somebody else do it. There's a pretty good chance that entire organization will turn over their front office when Loria goes. There's no way Stampson is staying with Loria gone. That would be a shock to me.
Yeah. It would be weird.
It'll be a cleaning. A thorough cleansing is necessary down there. Okay, next on our list, we had suicides there. So we're speeding right along.
Yeah. We are kind of speeding along, John.
We are.
Look at the time. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
13 minutes or 12 and a half.
Yeah. So MLB unveils a new competition committee. Who's involved with this?
Okay, so I think the only person that is old on it is Mark Shapiro, who's now with the Blue Jays. But I think it's like Dave Roberts. They have some managers in there. But I thought the strangest addition they had was Roberto Alomar. Like, who gives a crap what he thinks? Like, what is he going to institute rules about spitting on umpires? Is that going to become a legal thing now? I think when you spit on the umpires, you lose the right to be involved in the rules of baseball.
Right.
I mean, he's a great player. Yeah. But you can't spit on guys and expect to, people don't forget that stuff. I didn't forget it.
Is he coaching? What is he doing?
This is his gig. So he's also like doing, janitorial services for them as well.
Now, I'm sure he's been involved in some capacity in order to be involved at that level. But
I'm sure he's doing something.
Roaming instructor or something like that, maybe?
Some BS thing for the Orioles or something.
And what is the ultimate goal of this new competition committee?
So they just want to, these are the guys who basically are going to sit around once a month at a really nice resort and figure out whether they think they should add a timer for the pitchers, like a shooting clock or a pitching clock, so to speak. It's more of a ceremonial thing. But, just want to run the rules by everyone and make sure it gets enough, I guess, a variety of different opinions, right? So you got managers. I don't know if they have any active players, but they have managers and executives and former players and a former player that spit on an umpire. I've got to say, though, one of the best players I've ever seen play second base. Switch hitter, I mean, one of those, the career fell off the cliff, though. The skills just went from being incredible I think he was the Orioles. He was on the Blue Jays. He was great for them. The Padres, and then I don't know what happened. Or the Indians. He was on one of those. I think it was
he hit. Did he have an MVP season?
Kind of moved. Around. I don't know if he had an actual MVP, but he had put up some numbers.
He was in the conversation.
He put up some numbers, and then he just dropped off the cliff. Like, just one of those guys. There's a couple guys in the league this year where it's like, I think that might, like, McCutcheon might be that guy where it's like, are all the skills gone now? Because it happens.
It happens kind of overnight.
Yeah, it can happen.
In McCutcheon's case.
It's a fine line.
Even the peripherals are not in his favor.
I mean, the only thing, we're going to talk about McCutcheon later, but the only thing in McCutcheon's favor is that his BABIP, his batting average on balls in play, is so low. But there is a certain point where that's because you're not good anymore. It's no longer just bad luck. But I saw him hit a rifle shot to right center field that Cole Calhoun, of all people, hunted down and launched into the air to catch. And like... There is a certain degree of that in a third of a season that, it's bad luck, but we'll get to that.
Right. Later. Well, he's got to deploy the strategy of hit him where they ain't, and then he'll do much better.
You know what? I'm going to send him that note, John, because I think that might be the difference maker.
Yeah, it's probably just a simple little tweak.
Yes.
Conscious decision to hit them where they ain't.
Yeah.
Well, no, sure. Give it, it's worth a shot.
Sure.
Or maybe just, you know, wearing different socks or something. Who knows? Certain players respond to the silliest things.
Yeah.
Because they psychologically think a change is going to change their yeah. No player ever made a change when they were on a hot streak.
Because well, it's against the rules, man. But also, if you make a change when you're a hot streak, you have to ignore the change because right. then it doesn't then add start... or take away from the hot streak. So,
right. Yeah. Gotcha.
It's good.
Put it in writing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what we got next. This sounds like it could be fun. Baseball is virtual reality headsets are coming in June.
Yeah, that, virtual reality is
next
all,
week.
It's all the rage, man. So I don't know. Have you checked out VR stuff? It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and there's pretty cool. There's like, you know, obviously there are VR headsets you can buy, but there are also like VR attachments to phones you can buy that are, they're not mm-hmm. as good, but they're pretty good. Also, it's a little weird to have your phone there because then you're doing the thing and then you get a phone call come in
and the screen changes.
And the screen changes.
Blind
and
your
all
eyes.
Of a sudden you're like, you know, but fortunately you're, you know, semi-nude in your bed anyway, so it doesn't matter. or at least one could be. So apparently it's not going to be full 360 VR for games, but it will be VR for the games. And
oh,
then
really?
I think
for live games.
Yeah, for live games. And wow. then I think later, and I assume eventually it'll become live. There will be 360, but I think they're gonna like 360 is something you'll be able to download later or something. I'm gonna be honest with you. I read the article and I was very excited, but I didn't read the whole article because I wasn't that excited.
So it's you're watching the game live. The 360 element would be that just would be bizarre, you know, to sit in your living room and it'll feel like you're at the game. Hopefully,
yeah,
that would
basically,
be the goal.
That would be, and then I guess you would be able to shift cameras or something. Or
is there multiple like seats that you could be in?
You
perspectives.
Know, honestly, again, I only really
we'll
read
learn.
Like the first couple
we'll
paragraphs. So.
Coming to you,
but
June 1st.
I think I'll check it out. I think I'll do like a check it out type thing, and then I'll report back because it does
maybe
sound pretty
do,
cool.
Maybe we can do virtual reality podcasts and invite people to watch us.
I don't think people want to see us, but maybe we could show them a game. No, because then we get in trouble for broadcasting.
Right, broadcasting. Yeah, we couldn't do that.
I will say what's great about this is my wife's going to love it. If I've got a VR headset on instead of the television, she's going to love it. So then she can watch whatever the hell
she
wants.
You'll be sitting there in peace and quiet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you'll start ranting and raving and cheering. And
yeah. And she'll just assume it's a normal day for me.
Just another New Yorker.
That's right.
Transplanted, but New Yorker nonetheless.
Yes.
Okay, it's the next note here you have, and I'm assuming this happened recently again.
Oh, right, This is like a rough note, so let me just do it. So, okay, the Angels were playing a game. I don't remember who they were playing. I just remember Socha, because Socha gets so angry. Anyway, so caught stealing at second base, right? Or a guy steals second base, and the umpires overturn the call without instant replay. And then because they're just like, well, he was clearly out, right? So but then Socha comes out and he's freaking losing his mind because that's what Socha does, basically a good baseball manager, but he also is
short fuse,
quite expert at having a short fuse. And basically he winds up complaining longer than any instant replay would have taken, and this is exactly why you just go to instant replay,
right?
So that Mike Socha doesn't preen around like some lunatic. I guess not really. Lunatics don't preen, do they?
No, they loon.
Carom around? I don't know.
Yeah, bounce around like a lunatic. Yeah.
Anyway, it's just kind of a funny thing because it's like, guys, we have instant replay. Just use the instant replay. He was out, by the way. But, yeah, you know, like this is one of the reasons why when you start using instant replay, you have to keep using instant replay.
Right.
Kind of like condoms. Like, when you pick a birth control method, you got to keep using it.
You got to stick with it, right?
You can't just be like, oh, well, today I don't feel like that being how I do it. I'm just saying. Abstinence is also a good choice. I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's move on.
Okay, the Brewers seem to have a conspiracy theory about Cubs rainouts.
Right,
What's that?
This was great. They won't say what their conspiracy theory is, right? But on last Saturday, there was rain in Chicago, and the Brewers-Cubs game got called by the home team. Before the game starts, it's up to the home team whether they want to start the game. As soon as the game starts, it's over to the umpires. That way the home team can't say, oh, we call this game because we want a competitive advantage, right? So about an hour after the game gets called, it stops raining all day, and the sun even comes out. And there were like five different weather reports that all said that's exactly what was going to happen. But the Cubs were insisting that their weather report that they trusted said it was going to be rain all night and unfit playing conditions and blah, 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 whatever. Their secret weather report, right? And so, but here's the thing. So then the Cubs, rain out, whatever. Oops, there wasn't rain. But then the Brewers GM says that there's been a complaint lodged with the league about it, but he won't say what the complaint is. But there's sort of like, there's this inference there that like, oh, the Cubs were trying to pull something.
Get some extra time.
I don't know whether that's the thing is they're not saying what the conspiracy theory is. They're not saying, well, they actually did it. Because look, if you need an extra day rest for your guys, then that would be a pretty clever way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. Rain delay. Rain out, play it the next day. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know. Honestly, I don't really know how there would be.
It would be interesting to see how if it ever gets revealed as to what it was.
Right, isn't that what's going on right now, though, these conspiracy theories? Because you have, like, you got conservatives. Conservatives have these conspiracies about this Seth Rich guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the DNC staffer who was killed. It was apparently a botched robbery. He wasn't killed on the scene, though. He actually died at the hospital. Anyway, just this weird thing, like, but like everything, it's like, then it's like Trump and the Russians. And like, there's no evidence of anything, but there are people like legitimately losing their minds over how Putin is running Donald Trump and thereby running America. And it's just spectacular to watch. And people, like, this goes back to the whole, God, what's the guy from Fast and the Furious? Gosh, damn it.
I know what you're talking about.
Walker.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker, right? There's that conspiracy theory that Obama had him killed with a drone strike. Like, it's crazy. But if you just look at certain evidence, and, you know, I know this is a sore subject for you, but these lunatics who say that the Newton school shooting was a...
Newtown
shooting was like a false flag thing and the kids weren't really there. And, like, that's just crazy. And like, hey, look, there's a person here that looks like a person that was at another thing, and that's a government agent, and like, it's so crazy. And I think that what's happening is everyone's just getting a little bit unhinged, and they're grabbing on to these conspiracy theories because it's like, well, at least I'm grabbing onto something. It's crazy, though. It's crazy out there. Left and right, both of them are nuts.
And the unfortunate thing with this is that it's the fringes that on either side.
Yeah,
the middle of the bell curve is there's a semblance of sanity there, but the extremes are the ones who push these conspiracies that wind up being picked up by the mainstream media and touted as possible, truths,
and also by politicians and stuff,
craziness,
and then it gets perpetuated by politicians. And I saw there was some. Politician who, some Republican who said something about this Seth Rich thing, and just like, oh, if you look on the internet, you'll see, like, don't
quote the internet. Don't as your
quote
source.
The internet, dude. And then also on the
I
left,
googled
there's,
it.
There's
I googled
some.
It.
Was that girl Louise Mensch, who's like, she's kooks as hell, and she's like, oh, Donald Trump is impeached, and like, all that we're seeing now is a shadow government, and the marshal of the United States Supreme Court has issued an order, and like. And people are just like, what are you talking about? That's not how our government works, man. Or yeah, whoa, man.
She's a little bit screw loose type.
Yeah.
Just the way that she goes about her. She's a Twitter fanatic, too.
Right.
And she just goes absolutely nuts on Twitter.
Yeah.
She's one of those people, I think. And I've seen her on Bill Maher before. She seems sane on television.
Yeah. She reins it in a little bit.
But on Twitter, she just lets it all out.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, hiding behind her keyboard type of thing and just goes nuts.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world we live in. It's the new reality.
So the Brewers and the Cubs as the next conspiracy theory.
And maybe it'll make it to national news. Who knows? So now we've wrapped up headlines. We did a pretty good job.
Yeah, we did.
So starting nine in honor of Memorial Day, you have nine players with U.S. military sounding names or names.
Like, I think we've done before where we did like tanks and stuff like that. But what I wanted to do for this Memorial Day was actual U.S. generals.
Okay.
So there's some generals here that people haven't heard of, but most of them people have heard of.
This sounds like a research project.
This was okay. This one was a half research, half just off the top of my head.
So you know a bunch of generals off the top of your head?
Everyone knows a bunch of generals off the top of their head. When you hear the list, you'll be like, oh, right, okay, those people.
I know two that I can.
You'll know more when you'll see like, oh, that guy's a general. Yes. Right. I will say, you know, my dad was in the Air Force, so that kind of makes me military.
Oh.
Well, actually, not really, but USAA considers me military.
So you get all the benefits.
I get all the benefits.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks for your service, Dad. Okay, so, yeah. Now, all of these are generals, and I may forget to refer to them as General so-and-so, and I forgive any sort of bad manners for that. But anyway, so here we go. So we have General Ulysses S. Grant, and then we have Grant Dayton. From the Dodgers, lefty from the Dodgers.
Okay.
We have Robert E. Lee, or shall I say Robert E. Lee? I've got Louis Robert.
There you go.
Right?
That's good. I got Louis. So, yeah, I wasn't even thinking going back that far in time.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course, there's plenty of generals off the top of the head.
Exactly. All right. Next one. I've got William Sherman, after whom the Sherman tank was named. And for him, I have Arizona Diamondbacks catcher Chris Herman.
Okay.
Yeah. Next, what's that?
No, that's good. I was just like, Chris Sherman.
Yeah.
Chris Sherman.
Yeah, you say it fast enough, it's almost
Chris Sherman.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I got it.
It's good. John J. Blackjack Pershing. I've got John J.
John J.
Wish I could have gotten a Pershing or a Blackjack in there, but... So I'll take the layups when I can get it.
I'm sure there's an old timer with the nickname Blackjack.
There's Blackjack McDowell. I mean, that's
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Please, but not too far.
Not
this next one here, Winfield Scott. I picked him. He's a not famous general, but he's considered like one of the better generals in the history of the United States. I've never heard of him though. But there's Dave Winfield, right? And then there's Scott Schebler. From the Reds.
Bringing it right up to date.
The only reason why I did this one is because of Dave Winfield. Because Dave Winfield was awesome, and he was, 8 feet tall and could mash the ball 1,000 miles.
I saw him in a spring training game hit a line drive down the left field line at the Fort Lauderdale Yankee Stadium. I'm not kidding. It was out of the park within a second and a half, 2 seconds. It was the hardest hit ball. It was no more than 15 feet the entire way, and it was still going on a straight line
across.
I've never seen a ball hit that hard to this day, and that was 25 years ago.
Fantastic. That's
crazy.
He was an awesome, awesome player.
Yeah, he was.
Next one, Dwight D. Eisenhower, D. Gordon.
D, there. That's good.
Yeah. How about Bartolo Colon Powell? It's more like Colin Powell, but
that's good.
It's close. James Mattis, a more recent general, is actually now the head of the Department of Defense, right?
Isn't he?
Currently. So for Mattis, I have Matt S. Hoomaker.
Those are always my favorite.
Phonetically. Of the Angels. Yes. Matt S.
Hoomaker.
Yeah, Hoomaker. Though technically, if you take the S off, it's Hoemaker, which is brings us to our next one, Joseph Hooker. And he's a famous general that apparently was quite good at generaling, generally speaking. And for James Hooker, I've got Jorge Soler.
I think that one for a second. I'm sorry. I just had to cut the hay off, and I got it. That's a good one. That's a good one.
And there's our starting nine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. Well done. Yeah. You're on a roll.
That was
ever
a good
since
one.
What was the hockey one that you were struggling
with?
The hockey one.
Where I was cutting myself. Kids, don't cut yourself at home.
Okay, so let's keep the show rolling.
Yeah.
The not so new feature anymore, Are You Buying It? Where we talk about whether or not a player's current streak or current predicament is going to last.
Yes.
Are you buying it? So we have to have our weekly mention of Devin Travis. Has he been...
Two home runs, two walks this week. I'm telling you. Didn't I say? This guy's got it, man.
Yeah. He's back on
track. This guy has got it.
So back then, you said you weren't buying it when he was hitting 178 or whatever it was.
Right.
And you're like, nope, it's not going to last. And I think within 2 weeks, he started hitting again. And,
that's right.
But he will not leave this list. We will bring you up to date on everything Devin Travis does to just emphasize the fact that Jed knew it was not worth buying.
I'm just saying, when a guy's that good, the only reason why he's not going to perform is because of injuries. So if the injuries clear themselves up, the guy's going to be good. Like that's unless they get old. And speaking of which, let's hit some of these names here. Let's start with Andrew McCutchen, who we already started
the
talking
aging,
about.
Aging, decrepit Andrew McCutchen.
Right. Now, here's the thing. There is some bad luck going on with his numbers, but also his hard hit rate. And for those of you who don't know, that is the percentage of the balls that he hits that are considered to be hit hard. Now, yes, that's subjective, blah, 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 but it gives a good idea. That's not as high as it used to be, which is bad. You want hard hit to be the highest it can be. Like, giving you an example, last year, Ryan Zimmerman had a great hard hit rate, but bad numbers. So that's what made him look like he could have the year that he's having right now because he was hitting the ball hard. Because, I mean, think about it. You're hitting the ball hard. That's good.
Right.
That's a little pitching and hitting scouting for
there you go.
Segment. I am not buying this terrible performance, but it does seem like McCutchen's best days are behind him. And I don't mean that in a nice way.
And it's
I think
making,
he's basically done.
And it's making the contract, which everybody ridiculed years ago, and saying that they were saying that the Pirates should give him an extension based on how he was performing.
Right.
I think it was 2 or 3 years into his 7-year deal, and they were saying, oh, you should give him an extension because he's playing above. You know, he was underpaid back then, but now.
By a ton.
Yeah, but now he's probably in the ballpark.
So, yeah, but I mean, still, it's been a great contract, right? And
for both sides, I think the long term.
Well, I think McCutchen got screwed, but that he, you know, the
well, not if he
the security
his current rate, you know.
He should have been making $10 million more a year than he was making. When I'm just saying, he should have been. Right. So
okay.
I'm just saying, like, if he was a free agent. If he hadn't given away those free agency years with the contract, but again, he gets the security and all that stuff. I understand it. It works for everyone. The guy's got no problems other than he can't hit the goddamn ball.
Right.
Pardon my vulgarity.
And he's not making as much money as he could be.
Right. And also now it's like, well, what do you do with him? Right. Because he was hitting and then they moved him back to center field. And you've seen this happen before, John.
Sure.
Guy's got a tougher defensive assignment. His hitting suffers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Marte gets busted for that steroids thing. Okay, now McCutchen has to go to center, and now his numbers have just bottomed out. So maybe his legs are tired, right? Maybe this is a right fielder. I just feel like this is a guy, though, who could change a team and just go crazy.
Well, just imagine him with his hit rate, hard hit ball rate, going to into a designated hitter role.
Oh, that would be delightful.
Yeah.
That would be delightful.
So he is a movable piece, even with his higher contract.
Yeah.
And I know that you've been saying that Gerrit Cole, you didn't think they were going to trade him. There's continued buzz around him being a possible, even though Huntington says, no, we're not moving him. There's continues to be reports that, you know, the Pirates are listening, but every team listens.
Yeah, who's they're going to trade someone, right? Like, who could they trade? They're not going to trade Taillon because of the balls thing, the testicular situation.
Right. Not his wildness.
Right? You can't trade Glass now because he's just too young and, you know, trade guys that young. Ivan Nova or Ivan Nova? Frankenstein. Although,
reclamation project once again for Ray Searage.
Yeah.
What he's done.
Searage is great. Searage has done a nice job. But yeah, I mean, Cole could go. I mean, it just depends on. I just feel like are the Pirates that team that's going to give up an ace? I mean, Cole is pitching like an ace. I mean, maybe not. Maybe he's in that second tier, right? Like that Zach Greinke tier. But that's a good tier, man. That's a good player. Zach Greinke might get traded if the Diamondbacks fall out of things here. They're talking about trading AJ Pollock and Zach Greinke. Jeez.
Well, everybody's on the bandwagon of making the rich get richer by taking their prospects.
Right? It's smart baseball.
It is. It makes sense.
It's smart baseball, yeah.
Because what they did last year didn't really prove to be the winning secret sauce for, and it got their two executives fired as a result. Yeah. So,
but you and I talked about the Diamondbacks before the season, where they look like not a bad team. It could be a good team. They have a lot
with Pollock coming back helps the offense tremendously. Yeah.
But Pollock and Goldschmidt and all these like good players.
Yeah.
And then you have a good pitching staff that's been even better than people thought with Greinke and Robbie Ray and Robbie
Walker
Ray still gives
up
too many.
DL.
Yeah, he's one of the DL, but Robbie Ray's been getting way too many home runs, but he strikes out so many people. It's delicious. Anyway, so McCutchen is a no-buy. I'm not renting. Though I could see, this is, he started off slow last year, like for the first 3 months. I mean, that's starting off slow. That's a bad half season. And then in the second half of the season just went nuts. There was no, I didn't see any write-up on like, someone was like, oh, he realized he was doing blank and fixed his toe tap and now he's blah blah blah. So I don't know, he could do it again, but I think moving him to center is the drain. Just a little too much extra running out there for that. I mean, it's weird to say a 30-year-old is getting old or a 31-year-old, but sports, man.
Yes, indeed.
It's not so golf.
You can't play, you know, until you're 60 years old and still have a shot at winning the Masters like Freddie Couples.
Yeah.
Okay. A
couple of
on.
First basemen that I love that I'm buying. Justin Bour. You know, you and I have talked about him many times off the air. I love this guy on the Marlins. Love him. Big power. He's hitting 280. Who cares about that? He's slugging 900 or 870 or whatever. He's got the same slugging percentage or on-base plus slugging percentage as Giancarlo Stanton. He's got 12 home runs now, something like that. Oh, it's just fantastic.
He must be leading the team then.
Yeah, he has trouble with the lefties a little bit. But, man, he just kills the ball. There's a hard hit percentage guy. This is a little trick, like, for fantasy baseball people out there. Like, you don't necessarily want to just look at the numbers that they produced. You want to look at the numbers behind the numbers. And if you look at hard hit percentage and stuff like that, you can see if a person has power and the ball's just getting caught. Like, who was it that hit the ball the other night that Ryan Healy, right? Hit that ball against this is a great story, Jen. Against the Red Sox closer, Craig Kimbrell, and Jackie Bradley Jr. climbs the wall, pulls it back down. It's a home run. He steals the home run. But that's a home run ball. Like, that's a ball that was out of the park. And with most other center fielders, it's just a home run. So that's bad luck. But that's a hard hit ball, and it goes on the hard hit percentage.
Right. And it doesn't. So when you look behind the numbers, you can see that.
Yeah, and Bohr's been doing that. He started off a little slow, but the last 2.5 weeks, he's just been a home run every other day. It's been – I love it.
Thing about that, though, is that, you know, last year and the year before, they were platooning him.
Right.
And now that he's a full-time player, and it's like Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
You know, he's – you know, although Bohr is hitting better, Gallo's hitting home runs, he's getting walks, and he's driving in runs, and he's hitting below 200, but he's producing.
Right. He's getting those walks to get the on-base percentage up to a respectable, I think, 320 or 315. It should be higher. Let's get it a little higher, Joey. How long are we till we stop calling him Joey? Then he's Joe. I think he's 35 and he's 40. Hey, Joey.
Yeah, maybe we'll call him Jose. Jose Gallo.
Well, he's down there in Texas.
Yeah, they could. Okay, how about the declining Chase Headley?
He had a little surge at the beginning of the season, but he's done.
Done.
He's done. If you have stock in him, divest yourself of that stock, unsell it. He's doing all, he's just, his numbers are terrible. And the Yankees just don't really have a better thing to put at third base. That's the problem.
Well, they've moved Torres up to AA and playing third, second, and short. So they're
Glaber Torres. He's a Yankee. So
he's gonna be up soon.
He's exciting.
Chances are good that if they are in the hunt, they'll be bringing him up. And we'll see what happens with Headley.
Yeah, he's just. I mean, usually a player like Headley, they start off hot, but they sort of level out. He has bottomed out, which is, I'm smiling probably more than I should as a Red Sox fan, but such is life. They also have Aaron Judge, so who cares?
Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, so Xander Bogaerts. Here's a weird thing. 330 batting average, 800-something, 850 on-base plus slugging, OPS. No home runs.
Still
no home runs. Last night, I think he had like two doubles and a couple singles. He had a couple triples the other day, but no home runs.
So you're buying everything.
Well, I'm...
When
this guy first came up, he was supposed to be offense first, defense second, power guy, right? Then the power didn't show up. And he got good at defense. Then last year, he wound up having some power. And he was good at defense. This year, no power in terms of home runs, but good power otherwise, like doubles and triples, just not home runs. And he's been stealing bases, so he's kind of he's a great player. He's one of the top 20 players in the league right now. And so I'm buying that as from a baseball perspective, but I think if you're in fantasy and you think that he's suddenly going to flip a switch and hit 20 home runs or 15 like he did last year, I just don't think so. I think he might be.
Last year was an outlier on the power side, do you think?
Exactly. I think he's going to wind up being like an 8 to 10 home run a year guy. He's still very young, of course, so could get more power. But he seems to have made a concerted effort to making more contact than... I mean, last year he had that big hitting streak, remember? We talked about this during one of the shows back last year. Big hitting streak at 30 games or something like that. And he does seem to be favoring that approach. Now, I don't know. I don't know if that's the right thing or the wrong thing, but the overall numbers are there, just not home runs. But he's a fantastic player. He's going to be underrated for his entire career if he keeps this up, because everyone loves the home runs. Like Francisco Lindor is getting the home runs. Carlos Correa gets the home runs. These are all great shortstops. Corey Seager, home runs, but in terms of actual value to your team, he's right up there with any of those guys, but he won't get the fanfare because first of all, he's in Boston and there's a bunch of other guys with fanfare. And second of all, if you don't hit home runs, you don't get the fanfare. I mean, maybe he'll be one of those launch angle guys like Yonder Alonso, which we kind of touched on before, where they just changed their launch angle of their bat swing path. And Yonder Alonso has 12 home runs this year, 13, three more than his career high for a full season.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy that people thought he might be back in Cincinnati. And then when the Padres traded for him, when they traded away Matt Latos for him, they were like, hey, we're getting our first baseman of the future. And then he got dumped on the A's by the Padres, not last offseason, but the one before. And all of a sudden, he's just like, you know what? I'm going to try to hit the ball high and far. And
it's working.
And it's working great. And the guy's got all the numbers to back it up. It's not a fluke.
So are you buying him?
Buying him, too. I love him.
And do you have him on any of your fantasy teams?
I have him on my other I have two keeper leagues, and I have him on my other keeper league. I love him. I'm on a super cheap contract in my other league. So,
and I know how you feel about the next guy.
Oh, this is my boyfriend. This is my boyfriend, Jose Barrios.
Joey Barrios?
Yes. Yeah. Joe Barry's.
Joe Barry's. That's good.
I love it. Have you seen like the clips they have of this guy? This guy's curveball and slider are...
I've seen the curveball.
They are whack. Yeah. They are... It's like an optical illusion. It's incredible. I was a little nervous about him because last year he came up and he got just hammered, but he just kept walking guys, right? And I've watched, he started three times. I've watched two full starts of his. This is the Minnesota Twins, people. I'm watching Minnesota Twins games because of Joe Barry's. And I'm telling you, this guy, if he just can keep his focus, he's going to be an ace.
Well, his first start up, he pitched, was dominant, right?
Yeah. But he does, you can see in each game, you can see he starts to lose his poop a little bit when, like, he gets a bad call by the umpire or if someone tags the ball, you know, player gets, you know, sometimes you throw a great pitch in an unhittable spot and still a player winds up hitting it.
So there's an emotional adjustment, you think, that he's got to go through a little bit?
Exactly. And yeah. I think that's why he was so bad last year when he came up. And he was what had a 9 ERA or 8.5. It was just awful. And they sent him back down to the minors, and they dominated. Waited and dominated. And then he started this year, and he dominated. And they just kept holding him off and holding him off. And then they finally brought him up. They were going to bring him up against the Red Sox, and they didn't. And I think that was smart. They brought him up against, I think it was the Indians, who were scuffling a little bit at the time and still scuffling now. And so, but it wound up being like a good team to start him against. And he's the first, last two starts, I think he gave up three runs in his last start today. But I mean, they were just like, you know, a couple of home runs against him in the seventh inning. So probably the manager left him in a little too long, you know. Managers do that with starters for some reason, man. You get six innings of gold out of a pitcher, pull him out. Don't prove a point. That's just what you have a bullpen
for. The old
for.
Days, though. Yeah. You know, when guys would pitch. I think it was back in 1980 with the A's. The A's had three pitchers over 300 innings.
Yeah. Can you even imagine like that number of innings now? Like,
I know.
Can't even imagine that now.
No. No. And then Billy Martin was a manager then, took a lot of flack for burning out the pitchers. Rick Langford.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Drawing a blank on the other two.
Was it Vida Blue?
No, no, that was the next generation of, it was a skinny, that doesn't matter. But it was one of those things that he just went deep with every one of his starters. He had three starters with over 300.
Yeah.
We'll never see that again.
Yeah, never.
Never.
Yeah.
Too much specialization, too much money.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm buying Jose Barrios, and hopefully he will give me his hand in marriage.
Good luck, Joe Barry's.
Yes, Joe Barry's.
Okay, moving on to the final segment, Extra Innings, where we take a look outside of the baseball world to see what's going on. And we have a few fun things here. One of them is the Warriors, undefeated in their playoff run so far, 12-0 in their first three series.
Yes, they had a rocky regular season, but they seem to have gotten everything sorted
out. A rocky 67-win season.
As rocky a season as 67 wins can be.
Right.
They're awesome, you know.
Yeah, it
and
seems
good for
like
Kevin
everything...
Durant. He's going to get his ring. I think they're going to win. Whoever, I guess they're going to play the Cavaliers, right?
But, Cavaliers, yeah.
Yeah,
but the Cavaliers were on the same path until they laid a huge egg.
Yeah, but the
at home
come on
the
East
game.
The East, that's the weakest. Come on, the Eastern Conference is garbage.
And it is funny how it fluctuates, and right now we're in that cycle where the two best teams are the Spurs and the Warriors, and have been for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah,
and last year was a fluke.
That's a total fluke. That was a total fluke. They were down 3-1.
Right, it shouldn't have happened.
It shouldn't have happened. Look, when the Red Sox were down 3-0 and beat the Yankees, and you're welcome, Yankees fans, for sharing that memory again. When that happened, like it's a total fluke. You could still, you could still totally enjoy it as a Red Sox fan.
Yeah,
and the Cavaliers should absolutely enjoy that.
Yeah, one play here or there, those series are over.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's bounce of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Kevin Durant, so it'll be cool for him to get a ring. I still think it's a little weird. I think we talked about this a couple of times. I think it's weird to, I don't know, for a big free agent like that to just go to the team that's
the big money team. It's
the big
guaranteed win.
The best team and like that's already loaded. And I don't know. I don't know.
Took them a while. Their chemistry is definitely different. When Durant was out, they play different than now that he's back in. And there is, you know, they asked Curry to really change who he was as a player for Durant to come in. And when Durant
they had to curry favor with him.
There you go. Gosh. Nice.
That's why everyone's listening. All right, let's move along here. Who cares?
Let's move. Okay, David Ross, he actually won the whole thing?
Well, okay.
Dancing with the Stars?
He didn't actually win. He made it to the finals.
Oh.
And I think the next week is the actual announcing the winners.
Oh, so we don't know yet.
So we don't know.
But next week, he has a chance to win it all.
But he got some perfect scores, David Ross. And I'm telling you, this guy's sucking off the Cubs' mojo.
Yeah.
The Cubs are still scrapping. This guy's dancing his way to the top. Come on.
And maybe that's why they're doing the rain delays.
Look, God is waiting. A merciful, merciful person. But he's not going to let both of those things happen.
So the rain outs may be because they're trying to save as many games as they possibly can until Dancing with the Stars is over.
Maybe
and once it's over, the mojo comes
exactly.
back to the Cubs.
They're trying to push their, we're struggling now. Let's
new conspiracy theory.
Yes. Yes. Paul Walker is coordinating this from beyond the grave. And what he's worked out is that the Cubs will play more games later once the mojo is returned by David Ross. David Ross is using the mojo now. He's got the Bartman jersey going, the Bartman outfit. And all right, what's next? I got nothing else here.
Pippa Middleton. Got married over the weekend in some lavish extravaganza in London.
Yes. And I will say, I used to be kind of annoyed by the idea of the royals. Because people, I think, give them a little bit too much attention. But at least they're not just overtly awful people. You know? Like, they seem to be involved in goodwill. I mean, she's not really royal, right? I guess she's royal, right? By in-law or
association,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. This was a big deal, and I like how no one cared. I mean, some people care in the United States, but it's such an exponential amount of caring. Like her sister, Kate,
yes.
Is that Kate Middleton? She gets married, and like the entire world watches. And she gets married, and it's like, it's not just like it's a little bit less. It's a teeny fraction. So if then someone connected to them gets married, literally no one will hear about it. Yeah. And that's the royals. From an American perspective.
Speaking of royalty.
Yes.
We lost Sir Roger Moore.
Sir Roger Moore. The best Bond? No. The best saint? Yes. But yes. The only other saint was Val Kilmer, so... That's
well, I think one of the things with the Bond, when the Bond turned to more of a humorous kind of sexist twist, he was the perfect fit for that character. Sean Connery could have never played. Well, I shouldn't say that. He could have. But I think, you definitely had a completely different feel with the Roger Moore Bond and his leisure suits.
Yeah.
And that whole scene. It was, I love the Roger Moore ones, but they're hard to watch now. They're so goofy.
They don't hold up. And I will say, the Sean Connery ones I find hold up only because of Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has a lot to do also with, like, I think the storytelling was like, well, they're playing so much off of Roger Moore's sort of 70s, 80s.
Yeah, his vibe.
His kind of
slimy vibe.
It's a little slimy.
Yeah.
It plays a little slimy. I mean, that, you know, whatever. James Bond's always been sort of a sexist slime ball, but I mean, no one's better than Daniel Craig. But that's just because that's an elevated filmmaking. When they rebooted it, it was a
whole different.
Be interesting to see where they go from Daniel Craig, because he's done his last one, right?
There's been a lot of talk about the next one being an African-American James
right
Bond.
Idris Elba, that's what they're Elba they're talking about,
or a woman. There was even some talk about it being a woman.
Don't do that. Look, he's still gotta bang chicks, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still 007.
Well, it could be if it was a woman.
Yeah, okay, I guess. Is the world ready for that? I don't know. The world is not enough.
And on that note, the abbreviated edition that's about 3.5 minutes.
It's 15 minutes shorter than usual. That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're usually in the
Yeah, we can just keep talking too and just make it.
Let's stretch it out. The producers are giving me that stretching out.
All right,
I'm not
bye,
getting
John.
The throat slash.
Bye.
Have a good weekend.
You too.